Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I think today's going to be a very practical day. Today's going to be a day of teaching and instruction. I believe God has called each one of you to build an amazing life, but you can't build something great unless you have the right tools. Can I have a good amen? And so today is going to be training and equipping. We kicked off this series 2 weeks ago, and we talked about amazing families are God-first families. Do you remember that? Remember we brought out some balloons, and we talked about how sometimes juggling balloons and life gets crazy and scattered, but keeping God first, when God's first, the rest is blessed. Help me preach this morning. Come on, y'all getting quiet now. Y'all getting quiet. I think your thoughts are toward the inflatable games and those hot dogs that you're about to eat. And then if you were here last Sunday, did you hear Pastor Johnny preach last Sunday? Oh, baby, Blue Eyes brought it last week. Man, that boy from Central can preach. And he talked about amazing families are those families that serve one another. And I don't know if you've been tracking along on these devotionals. Over 3,000 people have signed up to get daily devotionals to guide them through this family series. And it works whether you're married or whether you're single or whether one day you hope to be married, whatever season of life that you're in. But we walked through last week with different ideas and thoughts and ways of how we can serve one another. Well, let me put this on your radar for next week. Everybody say next week. You don't want to miss next week. Because we're going to talk about how to put fun back in your marriage. We're going to talk about love. Come on, say, what's love got to do with it? It's got a whole lot to do with it. Come on. We're going to talk about romance. We're going to talk about how to put spice back into your marriage, back into your life. We're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about purity. You may want to make sure all your kids are up in the kids' district next Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss next Sunday. But today, coming out of this testimony, Mark and Kayla, we're going to talk about conflict and communication. Conflict and communication. Ever been at odds with someone you love? Ever had a fight over something that just was totally insignificant? We only got three honest people in the church today. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you got in a fight on your way to church this morning? I'm just teasing. Don't. I saw some wives elbow their husbands, say, you better take some notes. How many know somebody that definitely needs to hear this message today on conflict and communication? Well, men, I got a verse for you. Men, where are all the fellas at? Come on, where is the testosterone? Come on, bark at me, men. All right, fellas. This verse is for you. This is for the dog pound. You ready? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15. Now, wait a second. You're not even giving me a chance to read the verse. Yeah, the dog pound's going, woo, 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 woo. Okay, check this out. I did not write this, okay? I'm simply reporting this, okay? Don't shoot the messenger, all right? Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. Some of you fellas, that woke you up, man. That woke you up. A quarrelsome, nagging, manipulative, controlling, critical wife is like drip, 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 drip. For some of you, it's been raining for days. I'm teasing. Okay. Quickly, ladies, this verse is for you. Unless you feel left out, this next verse is for you. The scripture says, better to be nauseous, bloated, and burning with fever than to live with a husband who's a jerk. Well, first Haman, 1 Haman 2:24. Some of you are like, man, I've never heard that verse before. It's not actually in the Bible. I made that one up. Should have been in the Bible. You know, sometimes relationships can be difficult to navigate. And I love what Mark and Kayla said, that it didn't take them long to discover how different they really were. You know, when Rachel and I dated, we dated for 4 years. You know, when you're dating, you don't have a single problem. Everything's wonderful. I love doing pre-marriage counseling because I ask, you know, the couple sitting in my office, I say, is there anything about him that just aggravates you? Oh, nothing. He's just perfect. Is there anything about her that just frustrates you? Oh, she's amazing. She's incredible. My love, there's only you in my life. Oh, yes, I'm a hopeless romantic. But then something happens to change all that, right? All of a sudden, you get a revelation. You know, it took Rachel and I 3 days into our new married life to realize how different we really were. We got in a fight on our honeymoon. We were in the Bahamas. Day three, we made a decision that we were going to play Monopoly. Just a friendly game of Monopoly. But when I started buying property and railroads, I owned 3/4 of the board. The friendly game of Monopoly got unfriendly really fast. And it hit me, wait a second. Dating brings out the best in you, but marriage brings out the rest of you. And all the married couples said, you know, and Johnny talked about this a little bit last week. He talked about unrealistic expectations that sometimes we bring into a marriage. I blame Disney for this. You know that whole someday my prince will come? Come on, ladies. You grow up with this expectation that Prince Charming is going to come stepping right into your world. And you're the damsel in distress. And we will sweep you off your feet. Rachel prayed, and here came her prince. And then she started saying a different set of prayers. I love you. You're perfect. Now change. You know, studies say that in communication, there's 6 different parts of every conversation. Okay, check this out. Really quickly, let me lay a foundation. 6 different parts to every conversation. Did you know that? You're in dialogue with someone. There are 6 different parts to that conversation. There's what you wanted to say. There's what you thought you said. And there's what you actually said. And then there's what they wanted to hear. There's what they thought they heard. And then what they actually heard. 6 different parts. And I'm not an electrician, but I'm smart enough to know this. When wires get crossed, sparks can fly. Some of you know about sparks. Some of you know about fireworks. And we've heard this before. When it comes to marriage, what are the 3 major conflicts in marriage? What do all couples argue about? What do they say? The big 3. What are the big 3? Sex, money, and communication, right? Those are the big 3. We've read it. We've heard it. All the experts say sex, money, and communication. Guys want more sex. Girls want more money. And nobody wants to talk about it. What do you do? What do you do? How do you navigate marriage in the midst of all the conflict? This conversation is not just for married couples, though. This is for whatever season of life you find yourself in. Maybe on the job, there's a problem at work. Anybody work with a problem? Anybody work for a problem? Okay, none of my staff better be raising their hand right now. It's going to be really upsetting. Sometimes God will put sandpaper in your life to smooth off the rough edges on you. Whether you're single, single again. There are conflicts that all of us, you're either in a conflict right now. Some of you, if we could x-ray your soul, you're right in the middle of a battleground. You've been fighting battles for a long time. Maybe some of you have come in here and your marriage is in a condition where it's like, if I don't get help today, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Some of you maybe are in a season of peace, but you know how life works out. There may be a storm right around the corner. All of us have to make a commitment that regardless of the conflict, we're going to be committed to navigating through it and managing it well. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we feel like, man, there's just no problems in the Bible. I want to tell you, problems are all over the Bible. You look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. In fact, read about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. The Bible says that he had such a sharp disagreement with a man named Barnabas. Remember Paul and Barnabas? They were missionaries planting churches, traveling throughout all of Asia Minor, and they were doing the Lord's work. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they made a decision to part ways. Acts 16, read it, that's your Bible. Acts chapter 6, there was a problem in the New Testament church with the food program for the widows. They felt some widows were getting left out, so the elders had to come together and make decisions. How are we going to navigate conflict? And then who could forget the couple in Acts chapter 5? You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Remember that story? A little bit of trouble all throughout Scripture. And here's what I want you to know. The big takeaway is this. Here's what I've learned to be true. This works in marriage. This works for singles. This works in life. I want you to write this down. All families fight, but amazing families fight fair. All families fight. Conflict-free is simply fantasy. It's not going to happen. But the reality is, when conflicts come, amazing families make decisions, will fight fair. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, a couple verses I want to read to you. And then again, I want to shift gears and get very practical. I think this can help us in our relationships. James chapter 1, look at verses 19 and 20. James 1, 19, the Bible says this, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters." Now, who's he talking to? Brothers and sisters. He's talking to family. This is a family conversation. James is writing this letter, and he's saying to the church, hey, understand something, brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to what? Quick to listen. Slow to what? And slow to? So the Bible says we ought to be quick to turn a listening ear. When there's conflict in a relationship, we've got to be good at doing several things. And I want you to jot this down. Number one, and this is what I call the rules of engagement. Because some of you are in a battle right now. Some of you, there may be a problem in your marriage and you don't know how to talk to one another. Maybe some of you have been in arguments that have been so explosive that you're thinking, man, I'm not doing that again. There's nothing safe to talk about, and you don't even know how to talk. I want to give you four or five things that I think can help you today. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Listen actively. Listen actively. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, listening is a discipline. How many of you have a hard time listening? Because you're all over the map. Anybody suffer from ADD, ADHD, A to Z? It's tough to stay dialed in. And then especially when you put a little stress, put a little frustration, throw in a conflict, and boom, we're not really listening. Sometimes when you're quiet in an argument, when you're not saying anything, you're not really listening. You're simply reloading. Right? Come on now, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching, he's talking right to you. This is right for you. Oh, we got that smile on the outside, but inside we're grabbing rounds of ammunition. As soon as she takes a breath, as soon as she's quiet, as soon as there's a pause, I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat all upside her head. How many know that's not listening? You're forming a game plan to punish. Maybe she said something, she did something, maybe there was an error, maybe because you feel an injustice. Okay, wait a second now. That ain't right. I'm going to set the record straight. Listen actively. Proverbs 18:2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Ooh. It's foolish if we don't listen. You are playing right into the devil's hand if all you do is run your mouth. In fact, here's the picture. I almost did this. I almost brought out a ping pong table up on stage. And I wanted to show you how this worked. How many ping pongers? Yeah, any got any experts? Any Forrest Gump experts out there? You're like master ping pong champ. And we play this all the time in youth ministry. But you know what? What's interesting is the goal of a great conversation is the volley. Boom, 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 boom. There has to be a return. You can serve it up, but if you're constantly slamming your partner, come on, if you're charging the net and you're slamming your partner, eventually they're going to take their paddle and they're going home. They don't want to play anymore. Oh, if there's conflict in a marriage or in a relationship, offer up, hey, here's what I feel. When you said this, it made me feel like that. And then give them a chance to respond. Keep the ball in play. It's amazing what can be worked out when you volley conversation and you mix in the Holy Spirit. Come on, can I have a good amen? Now all of a sudden, you're learning and you're understanding what's happening on the other side of the table. Listen actively. The second thing, number two, and this goes right in hand with that. Think before you speak. In other words, before you open your mouth, engage your brain. Someone said this, talk when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. How many's ever done that before? Yes. We engage our mouth before our thoughts can restrict. We get out ahead of ourselves, and it's like a rapid-fire machine gun. And sometimes a conversation can get away from us. Anybody good at putting their foot in their mouth? Bible says this in Proverbs 21, verse 23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. And then you'll stay out of trouble. If you just watch it, hold your words, hold on to that, hold on to that. Wait a second. That what you're about to say. Here's the question. Two questions you need to ask yourself, okay? Two questions you need to ask yourself. Number one, should this be said? Number two, should it be said now? Now, what you say, it may be right on. You're exactly right. But is it the right time to say it? Because you can say the right thing at the wrong time and you're going to end up with wrong results. It's going to be painful. In fact, I would recommend this for all married couples. If you're going to work on your marriage, pick a time where there's not conflict in your marriage. I think you ought to be at peace time and then say, hey, can we come together and talk about something? You know why? Because you're in a better spirit. You know, if there is, because here's what happens. Everybody has buttons, don't they? And I'm not talking about buttons on your shirt. I'm talking about buttons in your soul. And your spouse knows every single button. And they know how to press your buttons. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. I was hoping you'd shout me down on this one today, but I'm not so sure. And they know the right combination of buttons to push. Pushing my buttons, bless God. And it's a trigger, and all of a sudden you feel something emotional rising up inside of you, and it's a dangerous thing. You could say what you know, but if you don't say it at the right time, you're not going to be pleased with the results. Pick a time of peace. Listen, the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. If you're at a good season in your marriage, take that opportunity to say, hey, let's talk. In fact, here's a phrase I think can help you. Fellas, try this. I did this yesterday. It's amazing. This phrase can change your life. I called Rachel. She was at Walmart last night, and I called her up. I said, babe, you know what I love about you? Hey, listen, I could feel on the other end of the phone, she was all ears. What? What do you love about me? Sometimes, how many ever walk into your house and you say something, you feel like nobody's listening to you? You're talking, but nobody's listening. You want to get your spouse's attention? You want? Hey, you know, babe, you know what I love about you? I told her, I said, babe, I love how you work so hard to take care of our family. She said, really? It's like, yes, you're just so good to us. You just take care of all of us. Thank you for taking care of our family. And then when she got home, I said, hey, babe, what you love about me? It was a good night last night. I mean, we were just feeling the love. That was a good opportunity for us to talk about, hey, how we're doing. Listen, here's what I love about you. Here's what I love about you. You know what? Is there anything that I could improve in how I serve you? Is there anything? Tell me what I can do to get better as a husband. That's the time that you need to talk about it. Am I helping anybody in here this morning? Think before you speak. You know, I heard this story recently. A little boy had a problem with his temper. And I know no one's ever thrown a temper tantrum in here. There are no anger issues in here whatsoever. Nobody has a short fuse. Nobody's ever lost it. This little boy was battling his temper, so his daddy was super smart. His daddy went to him one day and gave him a bag of nails and gave him a hammer. He said, son, listen, every time you lose your temper, I want you to go out to the backyard and I want you to drive a nail into that fence. Do you know day one, that little boy drove 37 nails. 37 times in one day he lost his temper. He's out there all day long driving nails. It's hard work to drive nails. It's a lot of work to get angry. Well, as days turned into weeks, he realized that, man, it was easier for him to hold his anger than it was to drive those nails. And pretty soon, one day, the little boy was so excited, he said, Daddy, listen, guess what? I didn't have to drive a single nail today. His dad said, son, I'm proud of you. You're learning. Now, here's what I want you to do. For every day that you hold your anger, for every day that you keep your temper in check, I want you to pull a nail out of that fence. And so pretty soon, days turned into weeks. Several months went by. He held his anger every single day. He finally reached the point where he had pulled every nail out of that fence. He went to his daddy and said, Daddy, look, I did it. No more nails. His dad looked at him and said, son, I'm so proud of you, but I want you to look at this fence. I want you to see this fence. I built this fence. I put it in with my own hands. It was brand new. But now listen, look at what you've done to that fence. Every time you lose your temper and you let words fly, it's like putting holes in somebody else's soul. Listen, if we don't think before we speak, our words have a way of bouncing off the walls of every room in our house and landing in the spirit of our children. Listen actively. Think before you speak. Number three, don't keep score. Don't keep score. When you keep records, when you record your frustrations, that list gets really long, doesn't it? That's a lot of work keeping score. Look, yesterday when we were at the LSU game, I was looking at Michaela and she's like, Daddy, I just don't think we're going to beat Alabama. I just don't think we're going to. We were down by 10. Down by 10, 11 points, 5-6 minutes left. Man, we were looking at that scoreboard. For us, it was all about the score. I said, baby, listen, don't look at the score. Look, don't get down. Let's dig in. Let's cheer for our Tigers. Besides, God loves LSU. And any day LSU beats Alabama in any sport, heaven smiles down on earth. How many know it's a good day when Alabama loses in anything? Come on. Just teasing. Everybody say, God bless Alabama. They need it. Listen, don't get caught on the scoreboard. Sometimes in marriage, sometimes in relationships, we keep track of everything that they've done to hurt us. And when you're keeping score, then the goal becomes all about winning. Watch this. You can win an argument and lose a friend. You can win a conflict and lose a marriage. Make a decision. If somebody's winning, that means somebody else has to lose. And if you're going to be successful in your marriage, both partners have to be winners. The good thing about growing old together is sometimes you forget what you're fighting about. Right? I mean, have you ever gotten into an argument and it was such a minor thing, but it blew up into a major thing, and that's how it works. That's how the devil, the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. A little bitty small issue, and you get so worked up because emotions are now in the driver's seat. And bless God, I can't believe. You'll never do. Don't you ever talk to me. And then we go, and man, we turn into Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And 3 days later, we can't even remember what the fuss was all about. But the fallout was huge. See, that's what happens when emotions get in the driver's seat. Small things become major issues. If you're going to have a good marriage, you got a major on the majors. And you got a minor on the minors. Don't let little things ruin a big opportunity. I love what the scripture says in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. The scripture says this, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, come on now, talk to me, talk to me. Lord, if you're keeping score, how many of you know, if God keeps score, we never win. Who could ever survive, Lord, if you're keeping track of all of our sins, all of our mistakes, all of our failures? The list is longer and longer as each day goes by. I'm glad that when we stand before God, we won't see a list of our sins. But you know what we'll see? We'll see the blood of Jesus. We'll see the redemptive plan of God covering. The Bible says it's the love of God that covers a multitude of sin. Verse 4 says, but if you offer forgiveness, then we'll learn to fear you. I want to, you know what that word fear means? It means respect. You want to know how to bring respect back into a relationship? Offer forgiveness. Hey, listen, you know, no big deal. I can't hold that against you because God doesn't hold my sin against me. Well, wait a second, Mike. I'll forgive them if they apologize. Too late to apologize. It's too late. You know what? Jesus didn't wait for an apology, did he? Remember when he was being crucified on the cross? He looked down at them in their sin and said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I'm convinced that most of the people who hurt us aren't even aware of what they're doing. And we hold them responsible for something that maybe they didn't even know. And guess what? We become prisoner to our own pain. Lord, I'm grateful that you don't keep record of our sins. Don't keep score. Are you getting anything this morning? Is this helping anybody? Okay, let me give you the last thought. I had six things, but I've only got time to give you one more. Number four. And this is big. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Rachel and I, we call this the B-O-D. The benefit of the doubt. How many's heard that before? Benefit of the doubt. What do we mean when we say the benefit of the doubt? Sometimes somebody will say something or do something and it creates doubt. Whoa. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Man, why did you come at me like that? Look, you know I'm trying my best here. I feel like I can't win in this thing. And so there's a situation that happens that creates doubt. Now, when we say the benefit of the doubt, here's what we mean. Weigh every single situation against the character and nature of the individual. Like, listen, and this works big time for in a marriage. Because in a marriage, the Bible says two become one. Two become one. Two individuals become one. God puts you together as one so that you'll be on the same team. You're on the same side. Listen, you're not fighting each other. You're fighting an enemy who wants to divide you. Come on, is this making sense? So when someone you love does or says something to hurt you, call a timeout and say, well, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because all of us make mistakes. We do things, we say things. Here's what we need to say. Ladies, toward your spouse, toward your husband, you need to say, I know his heart. Yeah, I mean, it hurt me when he said that, or I wish he would have done that, or that was disappointing, but I know his heart. I know he loves me. I know he's for me. You know, fellas, you may be frustrated over something about her, but you know what? God, she probably said that out of frustration. I know she cares about me. And if you'll offer the benefit of the doubt, it's amazing the doubt that gets removed from the relationship. When you give someone else the benefit, God can remove the doubt. Oh, that was good. I didn't even intend on saying that. Thank you, Lord. Give someone the benefit let God remove the doubt. Some of you came in here today saying, man, I doubt my marriage can survive. I doubt this thing can ever turn the corner. Give somebody a benefit. God will remove the doubt. Let me wrap this thing up. In Genesis 13, I read this at the beginning of the year, and God really spoke this to me personally, and I think this can add value. As we close out this conversation today on conflict and communication, there's a story about Abraham and his nephew Lot. Abraham and Lot. The Bible says that God blessed their family so much, there was so much increase. I mean, there was so much cattle and livestock and sheep, and the shepherds of Abraham began to fight and argue with the shepherds of Lot because there just wasn't enough land, there wasn't enough property, and so there was all of this infighting. And so the Bible says in Genesis 13, I love this verse, verse 8, the scripture says, finally, Abraham, he goes to Lot and he says something to him. He says, hey, let's don't allow this conflict to come between us or all of our herdsmen. After all, we're close relatives. Remember, we're family. Hey, listen to me, church. Don't forget this. In spite of all the craziness and the chaos and the confrontation, remember, we're family. Abraham had to bring some perspective. Oh, time out. Let's don't fight. We're family. And then he said this, and this is, I think to me, this is the tipping point. He says to Lot, here's what I want you to do. The whole countryside is open to you. Look around, he says. Take your choice. Whatever section of land you want, you got first choice. I'll defer to you. If you want the land on the right, I'll go to the left. If you want the land on the left, I'll go to the right. Two things Abraham did that I thought were amazing. Number one, he gave perspective. Listen, we're family. Let's remember, we're on the same side. Number two, he deferred. Now, Abraham was the uncle. Lot was the nephew. Abraham could have chosen first whatever he wanted. But you know what he did? He deferred. And you know what it brought? Tremendous peace. Here's the thing. Abraham didn't need to fight for a place because he already had a promise. You don't need to fight for a place. God has given you a promise. Didn't God tell Abraham in Genesis 12, that chapter before, didn't he say, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing to the nations of the earth. Abraham had a promise. He didn't have to fight for a place. Listen, in your relationships, know this. God's given you a promise. Don't fight for a place. His hand is upon you. He's going to bless you. I believe that if you can walk through these principles, all that strife that's in your life, God can remove. You see, hear me. Let me close by saying this. God's plan for you is to live in peace, not to be in pieces. Some of you are here today and your life is in pieces. And I want you to know God's here to give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.